Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Thursday, September 21st, 2017. Also in this broadcast is some of the news from Wednesday, because WBAI was off the air for most of last night's newscast. Beginning with Hurricane Maria, it's the strongest hurricane to hit Puerto Rico in 80 years. It left the island without power and paralyzed by landslides, flooding, and downed trees. Highways and streets are blocked. A disaster declaration for the island was approved by Trump. It makes federal funding available to Puerto Ricans affected by the storm. The Associated Press is reporting towering eucalyptus trees fell nearly every other block over a main road dotted with popular bars, restaurants, and coffee shops, this in the capital of San Juan. Outside a nearby apartment building, 40-year-old tourism company operator Adrian Pacheco said he spent 8 hours in a stairwell. He was huddled with 100 other residents when the hurricane ripped the storm shutters off his building and decimated 3 balconies. He said, "I think people didn't expect the storm to reach the point that it did. Since Irma never really happened, they thought Maria would be the same." Hurricane Irma sideswiped Puerto Rico on September 6th, leaving more than 1 million people without power, but causing no deaths or widespread damage like it did on nearby islands. In contrast, Maria blew out windows at some hospitals and police stations. It turned some streets into roaring rivers and destroyed hundreds of homes across the island. This includes 80% of houses in a small fishing village near the San Juan Bay. It unleashed a storm surge of more than 4 feet. Felix Delgado, mayor of the northern coastal city of Catano, told the Associated Press, "Months and months and months are going to pass before we can recover from this." Today, Maria, which is now a Category 3 storm, lashed the northeastern Dominican Republic and passed near Turks and Caicos, which has left many workers there homeless after Irma hit the islands. Turning to Mexico, the president there, Enrique Peña Nieto, declared 3 days of mourning as soldiers, police, firefighters, and everyday citizens kept digging through rubble to uncover survivors. This from the deadly magnitude 7.1 earthquake. It struck the country on Tuesday. Digging goes on as some residents clear an inch of rubble at a time with their hands.
It's very hard to get to them because there are so many small spaces, and we cannot use heavy machinery to work with it. So it's to work hard, to be there hours with little hammers, trying to put the brinks down.
That rescue worker was digging at a collapsed school in Mexico City. The earthquake has killed at least 245 people. Across the capital, thousands of Mexicans are now believed homeless. The tremor leveled entire buildings and left others teetering on the edge of collapse. Men, women, and children fill up gyms and event halls at more than 24 designated shelters. Many are uncertain where they will go next, but grateful to have a safe refuge. Donald Trump offered assistance to Mexico, this during a phone call on Wednesday with the Mexican president. He extended condolences for lives lost and damage caused by the earthquake, and offered assistance and search and rescue teams, which are now being deployed. Turning to the United Nations, despite Donald Trump's warmongering regarding North Korea at the UN General Assembly on Tuesday, U.S. allies don't want Trump to close off the possibility of a peaceful end to the crisis. German Chancellor Angela Merkel rejected Donald Trump's threatening approach. She offered to help negotiate a solution similar to the one reached with Iran. She told German media, "I think we must take the same path or a similar one with Russia, with China, together with the U.S. in the case of North Korea." at the United Nations, countries began signing the first treaty to ban nuclear weapons. It's backed by over 100 countries, but nuclear-armed nations don't want any part of it. Supporters of the PAC say it's time to push harder towards eliminating atomic weapons than nations have done so far through the nearly 50-year-old Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres opened the signing ceremony. He called the pact an important step towards the universally held goal of a world free of nuclear weapons.
We rightfully celebrate a milestone. Now we must continue along the hard road towards the elimination of nuclear arsenals. This will require dialogue, bridge building, and practical steps. There remain some 15,000 nuclear weapons in existence. We cannot allow these doomsday weapons to endanger our world and our children's future.
In other news, following speeches by Donald Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the United Nations General Assembly, Jewish Voice for Peace Executive Director Rebecca Vilka-Mersen says Trump and Netanyahu represent the worst of both U.S. and Israeli politics. Netanyahu says he's committed to peace with Palestinians, but the action of his government repeatedly undermine it by expanding illegal Israeli settlements and entrenching Israel's now half-century-old military occupation. The group, along with American Muslims for Palestine and others, gathered outside the UN this week.
So I hope you all have a good evening. But this is not over. This is only the start. Shout out to American Muslims for Palestine and Jewish Voice for Peace.
The people united will never be defeated.
Activists say they are deeply concerned about escalations of violence against Palestinian protesters and worshippers in Jerusalem and the worsening power crisis in Gaza, which is the underlying cause at the heart of these escalations.
Va entendre maintenant l'allocution de son Excellence Mahmoud Abbas, président de l'État de Palestine. Je prie le protocole de bien vouloir accompagner son Excellence.
On behalf of the General Assembly, I have the honor to welcome to the United Nations His Excellency Mahmoud Abbas, President of the State of Palestine, and to invite him to address the Assembly.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. السيد الأمين العام للأمم المتحدة. السيد رئيس الجمعية العامة المحترمين السيدات والسادة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته 24 عاما مضت على توقيع اتفاق أوسلو الانتقالي الذي حدد إنهاء الاحتلال الإسرائيلي بعد 5 سنوات ومنح الفلسطينيين الأمل في إقامة الدولة الفلسطينية المستقلة وتحقيق السلام بين الفلسطينيين والإسرائيليين فأين نحن اليوم من هذا الأمل؟
Your Excellency, Secretary General of the United
سيد
Nations,
الرئيس
President of the United Nations General Assembly, ladies and gentlemen, peace be upon you. 24 years have passed since the signing of the Oslo Accords, an interim agreement that set a 5-year period for bringing an end to the Israeli occupation, granting hope to the Palestinian people that they would soon achieve independence within their state and achieve peace between Palestinians and Israelis. What is left of this hope today?
The Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas's address to the General Assembly warned Israel not to turn the Middle East's decade-long conflict into a religious one and not to target the site sacred to both Muslims and Jews in the Old City of Jerusalem with any unilateral decisions. He says this would be like playing with fire. Muslims administer the compound home to the Al-Aqsa Mosque and Dome of the Rock, while Jews can visit but not pray there. Abbas says Israel is jeopardizing the two-state solution, by continuing to expand its settlements on Palestinian territories, including East Jerusalem. He adds that there's no physical space anymore for a Palestinian state. He made his speech after a meeting with Trump where niceties and hopes of peace in the Middle East were exchanged. Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, also met with Trump on the sidelines of the General Assembly. Trump said a peace deal would be a fantastic achievement, and we are giving it an absolute go. But Netanyahu did not address the issue in his speech to the General Assembly. Instead, he praised Trump's warmongering speech to the UN. He said Israel has a very good friend in Trump. Then he went on to attack Iran, which Israel sees as its most dangerous adversary.
Iran vows to destroy my country every day, including by its chief of staff the other day. Iran is conducting a campaign of conquest across the Middle East, and Iran is developing ballistic missiles to threaten the entire world. 2 years ago, I stood here and explained why the Iranian nuclear deal not only doesn't block Iran's path to the bomb, but actually paves it. Because the restrictions placed on Iran's nuclear program have what's called a sunset clause. Now, let me explain what that term means. It means that in a few years, those restrictions will be automatically removed, not by a change in Iran's behavior, not by a lessening of its terror or its aggression. They'll just be removed by a mere change in the calendar. And I warned that when that sunset comes, a dark shadow will be cast over the entire Middle East and the world.
French President Emmanuel Macron, who has also met with Trump on the sidelines of the GA, spoke to reporters outside the Security Council, outlining what he sees as the way ahead for the Iran nuclear deal.
What we have to do is to keep the 2015 agreement, because it was a good one, with a strong monitoring of the current situation. And we have to add 2 to 3 other pillars. One pillar in order to better control ballistic missiles and ballistic activity, which is not covered by the 2015 agreement. Second pillar, the post-2025, because the Vienna agreement doesn't cover the situation post-2025. And third, to have an open discussion with Iran about the current situation in the region. But I think it would be a mistake just to abandon the nuclear agreement without anything else.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump's Secretary of State, former Exxon chair Rex Tillerson, says the U.S. has serious problems with the Iran nuclear deal and that Iran, by its actions in the Middle East region, has defaulted on the expectations of the parties in the 2015 nuclear deal. The U.S. must decide it will recertify Iran's compliance with the deal's terms by October 15th. Trump says he made a decision but hasn't shared it yet. And you're listening to the news on listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio. This is WBAI in New York. Turning to the healthcare debate in the U.S., Donald Trump is tweeting he hopes Republican senators will vote for a new bill which will, in effect, take away healthcare for millions and weaken coverage requirements. He tweeted, "I hope Republican senators will vote for Graham Cassidy and fulfill their promise to repeal and replace Obamacare. Money direct to states!" Cassidy is Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy and Graham, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, sponsors of the reworked bill to replace Obamacare. Republicans are pushing for a vote on the Cassidy-Graham bill by the end of next week, or they lose access to special budget rules which prevent Democrats from filibustering. McConnell's been short of votes for the legislation, and it remains unclear if he has the votes in hand to pass the measure. The bill was brought forth quickly without a rating from the Congressional Budget Office. The previous Republican repeal efforts reviewed by the CBO were shown to result in millions of people losing their insurance coverage. The bill was introduced just as Bernie Sanders and a number of Democratic senators, including New York's Kirsten Gillibrand, sponsored the Medicare for All bill. Meanwhile, Trump called out Kentucky Senator Rand Paul for not supporting the bill. He writes, "Rand Paul is a friend of mine, but he is such a negative force when it comes to fixing health care. Graham Cassidy bill is, in caps, great, exclamation point, ends, oh care, exclamation point." The Cassidy-Graham bill would allow states to opt out of protections. It would waive requirements and divide health care monies into block grants for states, which would expire after 2026. Jimmy Kimmel, the late-night comedian, slammed the bill, and he slammed Senator Bill Cassidy on his ABC late-night program on Tuesday, and then again on Wednesday evening. Last night, he recited a litany of facts about the Republican bill. He posted phone numbers of senators still on the fence, urging viewers to phone Dean Heller of Nevada, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, and John McCain of Arizona to urge those senators to oppose the bill. Here's Jimmy Kimmel's emotional plea, which lit up the internet and put Cassidy on the offensive.
I know you guys are going to find this hard to believe, but a few months ago, after my son had open-heart surgery, which was something I spoke about on the air, a politician, a senator named Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, was on my show, and he wasn't very honest. It seemed like he was being honest. He got a lot of credit and attention for coming off like a rare, reasonable voice in the Republican Party when it came to health care, for coming up with something he called, and I didn't name it this, he named it this, the Jimmy Kimmel test, which was, in a nutshell, no family should be denied medical care, emergency or otherwise, because they can't afford it. He agreed to that. He said he would only support a health care bill that made sure a child like mine would get the health coverage he needs no matter how much money his parents make. And that did not have annual or lifetime caps. These insurance companies, they want caps to limit how much they can pay out. So, for instance, if your son has to have three open-heart surgeries, it can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars apiece. If he hits his lifetime cap of, let's say, $1 million, the rest of his life, he's on his own. Now, our current plan protects Americans from these caps and prevents insurance providers from jacking up the rates for people who have pre-existing conditions of all types. And Senator Cassidy said his plan would do that, too. He said all this on television many times.
As you present that, I ask, does it pass the Jimmy Kimmel test? Would the child born with a congenital heart disease be able to get everything she or he would need in that first year of life? I wanted to pass the Jimmy Kimmel test.
Okay, so last week, Bill Cassidy and Senator Lindsey Graham proposed a new bill, the Graham-Cassidy bill. And this new bill actually does pass the Jimmy Kimmel test, but a different Jimmy Kimmel test. With this one, your child with a pre-existing condition will get the care he needs if and only if his father is Jimmy Kimmel. Otherwise, you might be screwed. Now, I don't know what happened to Bill Cassidy, but when he was on this publicity tour, he listed his demands for a health care bill very clearly. These were his words. He said he wants coverage for all, no discrimination based on pre-existing conditions, lower premiums for middle-class families, and no lifetime caps. And guess what? The new bill does none of those things. Coverage for all? No. In fact, it'll kick about 30 million Americans off insurance. Pre-existing conditions? Nope. If the bill passes, individual states can let insurance companies charge you more if you have a pre-existing condition. You'll find that little loophole later in the document after it says they can't. They can and they will. But will it lower premiums? Well, in fact, for lots of people, the bill will result in higher premiums. And as far as no lifetime caps go, the states can decide on that too, which means there will be lifetime caps in many states. So not only did Bill Cassidy fail the Jimmy Kimmel test, he failed the Bill Cassidy test. He failed his own test. And you don't see that happen very much. This bill he came up with is actually worse than the one that, thank God, Republicans like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and John McCain torpedoed over the summer. And I hope they have the courage and good sense to do that again with this one, because these other guys who claim they want Americans to have better health care, even though 8 years ago they didn't want anyone to have health care at all, they're trying to sneak this scam of a bill they cooked up in without an analysis from the bipartisan Congressional Budget Office. They don't even want you to see it. They're having one hearing. The hearings, I read the hearings being held in the Homeland Security Committee, which has nothing to do with health care, and the chairman agreed to allow two witnesses, Bill Cassidy and Lindsey Graham, to speak. So listen, health care is complicated. It's boring. I don't want to talk about it. The details are confusing, and that's what these guys are relying on. They're counting on you to be so overwhelmed with all the information, you just trust them to take care of you, but they're not taking care of you. They're taking care of the people who give them money. like insurance companies, and we're all just looking at our Instagram accounts and liking things while they're voting on whether people can afford to keep their children alive or not. Most of the Congress people who vote on this bill probably won't even read it. And they want us to do the same thing. They want us to treat it like an iTunes service agreement. And this guy, Bill Cassidy, just lied right to my face. Do you believe that every American, regardless of income, should be able to get regular checkups, maternity care, et cetera, all of those things that people who have health care get and need?
Yep.
So yep is Washington for nope, I guess. And I never imagined I would get involved in something like this. This is not my area of expertise. My area of expertise is eating pizza, and that's really about it. But we can't let him do this to our children and our senior citizens and our veterans and or to any of us. And by the way, before you post a nasty Facebook message saying I'm politicizing my son's health problems, I want you to know I am politicizing my son's health problems because I have to. But my family has health insurance. We don't have to worry about this, but other people do. So you can shove your disgusting comments where your doctor won't be giving you a prostate exam once they take your health care benefits away. It's truly, it's unbelievable. Somehow Japan and England and Canada and Germany, France, they all figured health care out. And don't say they have terrible health care because it's just not true. This is a bad bill. But don't take my word for it. Here are just some of the organizations that oppose this Graham Cassidy bill. The American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, American Lung Association, the Arthritis Foundation, Cystic Fibrosis, the ALS Association, the March of Dimes, Multiple Sclerosis Society, Children's Hospital of LA. Basically, any group you've ever given money to thinks this is a bad idea. Do you trust them or do you trust him? Okay? So if this bill isn't good enough for you, call your congressperson. That's the number. It will go to your congressperson, wherever he or she is, 202-224-3121. You have to do this. You can't just click like on this video. Tell them this bill doesn't pass your test. And Senator Cassidy, you're on my show. You seem like you're a decent guy. But here's the thing. Nobody outside of your buddies in Congress wants this bill. Only 12% of Americans supported the last one. And this one is worse. Right now, there's a bipartisan group of senators working to improve the health care system we have. We want quality, affordable health care. Dozens of other countries figured it out. So instead of jamming this horrible bill down our throats, go pitch in and be a part of that. I'm sure they could use a guy with your medical background. And if not, stop using my name, okay? Because I don't want my name on it. There's a new Jimmy Kimmel test for you. It's called the lie detector test. You're welcome to stop by the studio and take it anytime.
ABC Late Night host Jimmy Kimmel. Republicans say the Affordable Care Act is an example of government overreach into the health care system. Democrats point out that it has expanded health insurance coverage to some 20 million people. And you're listening to the news on listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio. This is WBAI in New York. One of the co-sponsors of Sanders' Medicare for All bill, California Senator Kamala Harris, says the truth is that the Graham Cassidy bill is an even more damaging draft of Trump care than the ones before. Republicans know it can't pass in the Senate under normal circumstances, so they're putting fast-track efforts into play. They have until September 30th to pass the bill without the 60 votes they'd normally need. And because they know the plan's harmful and is already incredibly unpopular, they are recklessly rushing to a vote in less than 2 weeks, says Harris.
Here in the United States, over the past 8 years, thousands upon thousands of Americans threw themselves into the collective effort of reforming our healthcare system.
On the sidelines of the UN General Assembly, former President Barack Obama spoke at a global health event, calling out Republicans who are trying to repeal Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act.
Those of you who live in countries that already have universal health care are trying to figure out what's the controversy here. I am too. These people... But, you know, the folks who did the work, it wasn't just policy wonks. It wasn't just politicians. It was moms and dads, people who had the experience of a sick child or crushing medical bills that threatened to bankrupt them. Maybe a parent who was lost to cancer that had that person got a regular checkup, might have been caught earlier. And those voices from every walk of life in every corner of the country, against all odds, made a difference. And for the first time, more than 90% of Americans know the security of health insurance. Paying more for insurance or being denied insurance because of a pre-existing condition or because you are a woman, that's not a thing anymore. We got rid of that. And people are alive today because of it, and that's progress. Now, the legislation that we passed was full of things that still need to be fixed. It wasn't perfect, but it was better. And so when I see people trying to undo that hard-won progress for the 50th or 60th time with bills that would raise costs or reduce coverage or roll back protections for older Americans or people with pre-existing conditions, the cancer survivor, the expecting mom, or the child with autism or asthma, for whom coverage once again would be almost unattainable, it is aggravating. And all of this being done without any demonstrable economic or actuarial or plain common sense rationale, it frustrates. And it's certainly frustrating to have to mobilize every couple of months to keep our leaders from inflicting real human suffering on our constituents. But, you know, typically that's how progress is won. And how progress is maintained on every issue. We have to stand up for each other, recognize that progress is never inevitable, that it often can be fragile, it's in need of constant renewal, and our individual progress and our collective progress depends on our willingness to roll up our sleeves and work. And not be afraid to work.
Barack Obama spoke on Wednesday at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation Goalkeepers event in New York City on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.